Welcome, welcome, welcome to the SubHub podcast. I'm MK Sullivan.
And I'm Danny Moreno. And today we are going to preview the next two races of the Merrill Skyrunner World Series. And then after that, next week or the week after, MK Sullivan, well, I don't know why I just said your full name, but MK, MK and Francesco Puppi are actually going to be previewing Zagama. So keep an eye out for that as well. Francesco has a lot of experience running Zagama, and we still wanted to preview it, but I do not want to be part of that preview. I'll be over in Europe, but I'm also racing it. So keep an eye out for that. But to start today's episode, we also just want to talk about some of the things that we do when recovering for a race, kind of just like little things, big things, everything in between, especially considering that me and MK kind of just raced in our different phases of it. Still feels like it. Yeah, it feels like it was just yesterday, especially with a meeting we had yesterday too that we were on. It seems like it just happened. But yeah, just kind of giving you some insight into things that we find to be helpful during that transition period.
Yeah, I guess by the time this episode comes out, it will have been almost 3 weeks since you and I ran Canyon's 100K and 50K. So first question would be, do you feel recovered? Because you're racing Zagama pretty soon, and I'm sure you've been really hitting anything you can do hard to recover. So,
yeah, definitely. I do feel recovered now. I think it's more getting, I don't know, just conserve. Go, it's almost immediately I recovered and now I'm going back into conserving energy again. Just prepping for the race ahead. For those that don't know Zagama, it can either be really hot or really muddy. So just mentally preparing for either of those situations. But physically, I'm good. I did two long runs this past weekend and things were firing really well. Kind of like how you've said before, like I have a hill that's usually my early season hill where I like almost beat my time, but like half of it was covered in snow. And so I was like, okay, that means things are looking pretty good. But yeah, it definitely took longer than I thought. I feel like we've talked about that the last couple episodes, but after racing Kodiak last year, I felt like I could run pretty well, like just a few days after. And I don't know if that was like the culmination of the whole year and not racing a lot, or I couldn't run as fast because it was at altitude. But Canyons, I was really tired. Yeah.
Yeah, I am not recovered. I'm trying really hard, but I like went for a run yesterday and it was like the first day that I was like, okay, my heart rate's like maybe starting to come down. Like instead of having to walk to keep it out of the high 150s, it was like 152 instead. And I was like, okay, we're getting somewhere. But then I went for a double and I was like, holy cow, I'm so tired. So yeah, it's just like, it's a weird thing. And I keep telling Tommy, like, all the more reason to not run far, because I like to train and I like to race and I haven't been able to do much of anything that feels substantial, but we'll see how today goes. So I think one of the biggest bummers, and I think I talked about this the first week, was with the Poison Oak. I was like really on top of it and I scheduled a massage for like the week after the race because I knew I was going to be pretty wrecked, but I couldn't get it because I was covered in Poison Oak. So I'm finally going to do that this week, and I'm hoping that that like kind of flushes some stuff out.
Yeah, a part of me thinks though as well, like bumping up in distance, of course you're going to be more tired, but I think getting the Poison Oak might have compounded it. Like, I don't know if you would still be this tired because you didn't sleep like the whole week after. Yeah. And your body was fighting off a virus at the same time. And so you were already like, we're always in the hole right after a race, but it was almost like pounding you more into the hole because you did, had great blocks. Like you had two really good blocks back to back.
And my legs recovered relatively quickly. Like after a week, my legs have been fine. But yeah, I mean, didn't sleep for 4 days. The steroids like lower your immune system. So I got sick and I'm sure you can still hear it. I'm still like, I don't feel sick, but I've got all the snot and stuff in my head. So yeah, just bad timing, but That's all right. And the next time I run 100K, if I do it, it will be less bad, I think. You know, just kind of like the first and second
Totally.
time you run a 50K is like totally different in terms of recovery.
Totally, totally. Yeah, no, definitely. I couldn't agree more. I just, for some reason, I think that probably just is making it last a little bit longer.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And hopefully it doesn't deter you from doing another one. Just choose one without a mountain of poison hooked during
Yeah,
the
we're maybe gonna need a break from Auburn for a bit.
middle of it.
But that's all right.
Yeah, until
So,
June, the third week of
oh
June.
gosh. Yeah, I keep forgetting that I'm like pacing Ida and I'm just like, hopefully I'll most of the poison oak is dead at that point. Like I know there's still some, but it won't be as wild as April in Auburn. So
Yeah.
crossing our fingers there.
So for sure. Okay, so what name like two to three of your top favorite things when you're recovering?
I mean, the big one for me is sleep. I like to sleep a ton anyways, like 8 to 10 hours a night. And so after a race, I try to get like 10 hours consistently. And for Tommy and I, sometimes that's like maybe we sleep in separate beds for like 2 or 3 days because like one of us is not as tired as the other one. And so like, you know, he's running a race this weekend and he'll want to sleep for like 10 hours for the next week to try to catch up. The next biggest thing is reminding myself that even if I'm not running, I still need to eat just as much food because I've really put myself in a hole. And so just kind of trying to keep that like homeostasis of I ate a lot on in the training, I ate a lot after the race. I got to keep eating for the next 3 or 4 days instead of being like, well, I'm not training, so I don't need to eat as much. And then the third thing would probably be like trying to get into a massage as soon as possible because I'm just like one of those people I don't stretch. I don't really take care of myself that well. So having somebody else do it after a race is like kind of key for me.
Yeah, no, definitely.
What
I
about
mean, you can
you?
also do that with like a roller or something, right? Just kind of
Yeah.
starting to move stuff.
Just be better than me at recovering and roll yourself out. I'm like Rick's over here like, "Oh, make sure you get in tons of sleep, maybe hot tub and then roll out afterwards." I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna get in the hot tub and then I'm probably just gonna go to bed.
No, I love that.
Gosh.
Honestly, mine are very similar. Like sleep for sure. I sleep a lot pretty much all the time. If I get less than 9 hours of sleep, I feel it. Like I need 9 hours normally. And after this race, there was a couple nights where I got like 12 hours of sleep. And I
That's so
just would just
impressive.
stay in bed and like be awake and then I'd fall back asleep. And then food, yes, I eat a lot of protein. Post race, just to kind of like help prepare everything. And for me, that's very low hanging fruit in a way because it's easy. You're going to eat anyway. So I just like add a lot of protein. I am not a vegan, so I eat a lot of animal protein, especially. And the third one is similar to yours too, but like I love heat. Like I don't like being cold, even though I live in a place that has snow like you. Like I've never been a fan of ice baths unless it's
Oh,
like a really hot summer day.
yeah.
Like even in college, I would never get into the ice tub that they had, like in the athletics room and stuff like that. Very rarely. But I love heat and, you know, I'm in a position where like yourself, like I have a hot tub in our condo. So I was just like living in that like the first week after Canyons. And I would just be out there and listening to music and would prune myself up into a little raisin. Because I really think that like the blood flow is really nice.
Oh, yeah.
And then kind of the similar, you know, Terry also says like stretch and stuff. I don't know if with you, but like when after I'm done racing, I feel like I don't want to do anything that seems like in quotes training related.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I don't want to do this. Even though I know it would be really good for me, I just want to not have to think about what to do for a couple days. And so like stretching, activating, none of that is like in my vocabulary.
Yeah, no, I 100% agree. I mean, I'm bad at it anyways, and if you ask me to do it after a race, I'm probably just gonna be like, yeah, sure, definitely.
Yeah.
No.
But I will say you should do that.
Yeah.
Like it will help you like recover and stuff, but something about my brain is like, nope, we need some days off. We're not going to do this anymore.
Do you have like a favorite recovery tool? Because I like, you were saying like you could get on a foam roller and stuff. I'm not gonna foam roll, like it's just not me. But I do have it's called the Rod, and it's like one of those stick rollers, but it's like titanium on the inside with like a little, cushion on the outside. And that thing is better than any other roller I've ever used. Just because it doesn't bend. Plus, I don't have to like physically roll on it on the ground. I just like, use it like a stick, but it's intense.
I have never heard of the rod.
I just got it recently. The Rod and like the pokey small little ball for your arches, those are like the two things that I probably use the most,
Is it
especially after
called
races.
like the rod roller, or what is it
Yeah.
called?
I think it's just the Rod.
Oh, by Rad?
Yeah. Rod by Rad.
That's wild. Yeah, I've never heard of that. And it, interesting. Yeah, I've never heard of this. That's a really good
Rad Rod, that's what it's called.
yeah. And it rolls.
Yeah. So it's just like your the regular stick roller that has those, like weird little plastic things on it, but those just bend too much for me. And so like especially because I like my quads are what get the most tight. And if I try to roll that out with a stick, it just isn't enough pressure. So the Rad Rod doesn't bend and it's hard. So it really gets into those muscles.
No, I really like this. This is cool. That's a great suggestion or recommendation. Yeah, I still have like the OG roll recovery
Oh,
with like
yeah. The
the
R8, we have one of
skateboard
those
wheels
too.
or something. Yeah, because now they're connected, but I have like the OG one and
Yeah.
a little dirty to be honest. But I like that. I do have Normatec boots, so I'll jump in those. Sometimes I'm really disappointed in myself though, how little I use them for how easy they are to use. No,
Same.
seriously.
No, I.
Cause I brought them to the Auburn camp with Ingvild and Tony, and that's the most I've used them in like a year. Cause I
Yeah.
use them every day because I'm like, this is the only way I'm gonna be able to survive. This is the most mileage I've done in my life. And so I was in them every day and I do think they helped. And then as soon as I got home, I like put them on my couch and I've used them maybe like once a week for
Yeah.
how easy they are. I feel like such a dummy sometimes.
Tommy religiously uses our compression boots, and he's always like, "You should do this." And I'm like, "Yeah." And then I don't. And I maybe do it like once every 2 weeks.
Yeah, I feel like sometimes I have this essence of like an old man or old woman in me where I get stubborn about stuff where I'm like, I don't need that. I don't need to be in the boots every day. I'm
I'm
like
not
that with
hurt.
shoes too. Yeah. I'm like that with shoes too, though. Or historically, I was, and that's why it took me so long to try like the new T-Rex Ultra, Agravic Speed Ultra, because I was like, those are too big for the trails. Like, I want to feel the rocks. And
Yeah.
then as soon as I got used to them, I'm like, why are you so stubborn about this? Like,
I did that with.
it's actually good to not feel the rocks sometimes.
Yeah, I did that with the carbon. Like back when I was running marathons, when and carbon was like first kind of coming onto the scene in like 2019, 2018, I was like, I don't need carbon. I'm good enough without it. And now I'm like, man, I really wish I would have run a marathon in carbon shoes.
Like 5 minutes faster. No,
Yeah.
yeah, no, that's pretty funny. What else? Anything else for recovery stuff? Do you have
I
like
will
any
say.
go-to? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I was just gonna say, I am like in the summer when it's really hot, I do like to just get into the creek as soon as my run is done, and that's like my ice bath. Because there was all that like hubbub around the tour last year where they were using ice vests like before and after the races to keep their core temperature cool, and it's supposed to help like with recovery, like to immediately cool your body temp down, which in the winter I would never do because I don't like to be cold, but in the summer like I'll just hop straight into the creek. I'll probably do that today because it's going to be 78 degrees and I'm probably going to feel like I'm dying.
No, that's a good point for sure. Maybe for people that are interested in Western states too, or they're running this
Yeah.
year. Yeah, I don't always have access. I guess I'm where I live now. I could probably jump in a creek, but if I'm somewhere that has like a cool river or something like that, I will make a point to like actually get into it, which is nice. Another thing is like the protein, but the protein like right after like a walk or run, like that week in between races. And then the last thing I wanted to highlight was just like mindset. For people, like after you finish a race, it's really hard because I think it can swing whether the race went well or not so well. If it's somewhere in between, I feel like it doesn't feel as so fiery in either way. And just trying to remember that you still need a break, even if the race didn't go well. That doesn't mean you just like get back to training. Because the training blocks take a lot out of you, like physically and emotionally. And yeah, you deserve that recovery no matter what.
Because we kind of talked about this last week. But like, it's almost a badge of honor, like, for people to come back from a race within a couple of days. And it's like, one, your fitness isn't going anywhere. Two, your brain like needs some space and some time from training. Like after OCC, I made the mistake that because the race didn't go well, I was like next day training, like running. And I should not have been. Like I was op something was obviously wrong. And so I was just digging myself in a hole in a hole in a hole in a hole. Whereas like, yeah, after this race, it's like whatever. If I still don't feel good, like I don't feel good. I trained really hard for a long time. It's not going anywhere. Your fitness doesn't go away. Like it takes so much time of full sedentary to lose fitness, and none of us are doing that, you know.
Yeah, definitely. And honestly, I feel that more when people say that they have an injury or a niggle that came up, and if they are willing to be open about it on social media, like 85% of the time, I would say it's, yeah, my blank flared up because I came back too fast after blank. Like 85% of the time, like, yeah, I ran this race and I started running a week later, or I, got back to it and stuff like that. So,
That's what I think. That's what happened to Hayden Hawks, like after Black Canyon.
Black
And he was
Canyons.
like, hey, I just came back too fast. And like the goal's Western States. So we're going to chill for a second.
Exactly. No one is, what is that called?
Invincible.
Sure.
Yeah.
I think.
Give yourself a break. If not for your legs, for your brain. We
And your
do too
heart
much of this already, you know? And your heart.
and your aura. Cool. Well, if you guys have any other questions about recovery, that just like is a quick little overview, we'd love to answer them. So just shoot us a message through the SubHub podcast Instagram.
Hey, all. Danny here, professional trail runner and co-host of the SubHub podcast. Last year, after getting sick before a big race, I started looking into natural ways to boost my immune system. So I embarked on a little research journey, trying out a few different options. And you know what? I found myself reaching for one set of products again and again. And that was Beekeeper's Naturals. And guess what? They are now a partner of the pod. Founded with a mission to reinvent the medicine cabinet, Beekeeper's Naturals offers an array of immune-boosting products free from harmful chemicals and artificial ingredients. Their hero ingredient is called Propolis. It's nature's defender of the hive, packed with antioxidants, vitamins, and minerals. While my personal favorite product is the throat spray, they also have lozenges, syrups, and a bunch of great options for kids. So if you're looking for a natural option to boost your immune system, consider trying Beekeeper's Naturals products. And be sure to use the code SUBHUB20 for 20% off of all of your orders at beekeepersnaturals.com. Now back to the episode.
Okay, shall we get into the previews for these next two sky races?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
So the last race that we covered was Sky Race des Mathazines, and now we are on to Gorges du Tarn, which is the next stop in France. And this is the fourth race of the series, right? Yeah, fourth race of the series. So that is happening this Saturday, May 18th. It starts at 11 a.m. Central European time. So if you're feeling like you want to wake up early, that's 2 a.m. Pacific time. The race is 25 kilometers, 1900 meters, which is 15 and a half miles with 6200 feet. But I will say that the Strava that I found from last year was closer to 17 and a half miles. They may have changed the course a little bit, but it's always funny, like the discrepancies between what the race website says, what Strava says, what AllTrails says. Like Danny and I are looking at three different profiles and they're similar, but not the same. This race happens in Nîmes, France. I'm probably saying that wrong. I'm so sorry. And this race is similar to the Kalamura Sky Race in the sense that it's like three bigger climbs instead of one up and one down, kind of like Sky Race des Mathazines last weekend or 2 weekends ago. So, yeah, I don't, there's, we can go over the course or we can talk about times. What do you want to start with?
Let's just do a quick little course overview. So the course itself is kind of near like southern Spain. It looks like you could fly into Montpellier. It makes me interested because it kind of looks very near potentially where Les Templiers takes place too. Just kind of like in that general south of France region. But the course itself, like the uphills look like the most technical part. Like it's a bit scrambly. The stones are, hand size, as some people call baby heads, which I think is so funny. But the downhills actually look like relatively smooth based on the times we were seeing on Strava from people running it, just the overall times that the course has been won in and run in. And then also looking at the videos. And it does look like you're exposed for a lot of the race. And this Europe, this time of year, is starting to get a little bit
Hot.
hot. So we can imagine this is going to be a pretty warm race. And you start the course with roughly 2.5 miles with 3,000 feet of gain, just like straight out of the bat. So that's a big climb, probably with some scrambling. Then you lose roughly 1,200 feet in the next 3 miles. And then you have another climb, that second climb, 1,200 feet of gain. And then that third climb has 5 miles with 2,000 feet of gain. So it actually gets more, less steep as the race goes on, which actually is kind of cool to see.
Yeah, because if you look at the elevation profile, that first climb is like, 30 to or 20 to 30% grade. And by the time you get to the final climb, it's more like a 10 to 17% grade. So way more runnable. And then the final descent is just like 3.5 miles with 2,100 feet of loss, which isn't too terrible, but just enough at the end of that race that you got to really pay attention and you might be feeling pretty trashed.
Definitely. And also looking at the videos, it looks like you're almost like on the ridge line of a gorge or something like that, which is pretty cool. I think you have some beautiful views.
And it looks, like Danny said, it looks pretty exposed until maybe like the final descent, which looks like it's a little bit more in the trees, at least for part of it. And that's probably the most technical part of the downhill based on what we were seeing in videos. So last year's winners on the men's side was 304, women's side was 331. So, a little bit of a longer race for how short it is mileage wise. But
And the some of the race favorites coming into this, or did you want to say anything else on the course?
oh no, I don't think so. I think just kind of similar to Acantilados again in terms of time, a little bit slower, but.
No, definitely. And this is shorter than, oh no, this is longer than Sky Race des Mathazines, because that was,
Is like 12 miles.
yeah.
Yeah. But all up, all down. Just like a totally different race.
Oh, it's, I guess, yeah, it's just a little less with a little less gain. Okay, this is actually the shortest and the least amount of gain race.
Which
Just,
makes sense for the south of France.
totally, yeah. Okay. Well, the Spanish women continue to show up to these races. I really thought coming into these two French races that there'd be more French runners on the start line. Like we still haven't really seen Clemente yet or Lucille Germain. They're like two common runners. Iris Pessy is also French, but she's coming off an injury. So yeah, surprised she's not here as well. But we have Julia Font, who was second at Calmaro Sky Race, two top 10s, I believe, at Golden Trail most recently. We have Oyana Cortazar, top five at Acantilados and Calamaro. Oh, we do have Lucille Germain. Okay.
Yeah,
Lucille,
she's in this one.
Cool. She was third at Schlagisch Sky Race last year. And then we have Naomi Vachon, who was seventh at Schlagisch Sky Race last year. Did she end up showing up at Sky Race team at the seams?
I'll look that up right now.
Because I know we previewed her. And then we also have Johanna Gelfrin, who was the winner of Fjall Marathon 45K last year, which is a really popular race in Sweden that I think MK ran and rolled her ankle at. Is that the race?
Yeah, I did not finish that race. I tried.
Yeah.
Beautiful race, though, if you're looking for something to run in Sweden, you know? It does not look like she ran it last weekend. Not seeing her in the results.
Well, hopefully she shows up this weekend, but that is a very strong top five. So if you are looking for some fantasy intel, I would pick some combination of those five women: Julia Font, Oyana, Lucille, Naomi, and Johanna.
Yes. And then on the men's side, we have Eugenio Gil from Spain. He was fifth at OCC in 2019. Hasn't had a ton of big results since then, but that doesn't mean much in this world. So Shoma Otagiri from Japan was fifth at Schlagis last year and third at, I'm going to botch this, Hokkaningman. It's like one of the next sky races in Austria. Antonio Martinez was the overall winner last year. Has been kind of lower in most races than I would have imagined him to be, but he was still second at Calamoro, and this is arguably a bit of a less competitive field than the other sky races that have happened so far, so I wouldn't be surprised if he comes out on top this time around, unless of course Roberto De Lorenzi is there. I don't think he's running, but we also said that about Sky Race to Mathazines, and he ended up showing up.
And yeah, he showed up.
So
Roberto.
Yeah, Roberto on his Instagram said that Europeans was what was next for him. But don't be surprised if he just decides to throw himself in that race.
Yeah,
so definitely. Those are kind of the top guys in the men's race.
Yeah, I think it's a little bit lighter in this race because people are coming off of either like Calamaro and Sky Race de Mathazines and
Gold
some
Trail.
Golden Trail. So it's a good time of year for people to potentially catch their breath in between all these series starting.
And a lot of people
just
are
like
racing
overall
Europeans.
Earlier. And European mountain running championships are coming up and are just around the corner. So yeah, it's the good chance for some other people to pick up points if they aren't participating in those other series and races.
This episode is brought to you by our friends at Never Second. Although they are a relatively new brand in the space, Never Second has been working with some of the biggest names in trail running over the last couple years, like UTMB champs Katie Scheid and Jim Walmsley. Never Second makes fueling easy with their modular system that allows you to create the exact carbohydrate formula for your activity. Their products are meant to be mixed and matched so that you can have 30, 60, 90, or even 120 grams of carbs per hour. I used Never Second in my recent second place finish at the Canyons 100K, where I also snagged a golden ticket. Despite being pretty nervous and nauseous at the start of the race, I was able to get down all of my nutrition because of the easy consistency and light flavors of Never Second products. I drank 90 grams of carbs over 90-minute increments and supplemented with one C30 an hour. I alternated between the C90 mix and a 3-scoop C30 mix to get a little bit more sodium every bottle. I also alternated my gels with a C30 plus that included caffeine so that I wouldn't get too tired as the race went on. I never experienced flavor fatigue or an upset stomach for the entirety of the 100K. If you want to try Never Second, just head to neversecond.com. That's N-E-V-E-R, the number 2.com. And use code SUBHUB25 for a 25% discount on all your orders. And we got some back-to-back weekend action going on.
Yeah, because then on the other side of the world, in Mexico, we have the Mexico Sky Challenge, which will be the fifth race of the Merrill Skyrunner World Series. And this happens May 24th to the 26th. And it is in Orizaba, Veracruz, Mexico, which is kind of like in southeastern Mexico, if you look where Veracruz is. But yeah, there's multiple distances that are happening over these couple of days, but the Skyrunner's distance is the 35K. And this race looks wild.
Gnarly.
It looks like, it honestly looks quite opposite to the French race that is the week before. We are getting 12,000 feet of gain, folks, in this 35K. That's a lot of climbing. And there's like this descent, which is, where is it at? It's the second descent.
It's like mile 13 to 14 is the craziest part of this descent, it seems. Or yeah. 12 like to 14.
12 to 14, where there's like 70%.
Like, we're thinking this is more of a down climb than a run.
Yeah, totally. It's almost 100%. That's wild. There has to be like ropes or something on this. This race also tops out at like 12,000 feet. So it is a high race. And looking at the videos and just like the descriptions of this race, it just seems like it's a very technical race. Another thing that's kind of telling is there's only two segments on Strava and there's like no heat map on this trail.
This is,
which makes me think that it's going to be pretty rugged.
Yeah, it's definitely like a new course, new race. So there's no results. We don't really know what we're looking at here. But like, it's going to be wild, especially because you do this massive downhill and then it looks to be like more runnable in terms of grade for the last, like 15 to 21, mile 15 to 21. But based on the segments, it must be super technical because people are moving so slowly, like 20 minute pace.
Yeah. It just looks like an all day effort. I mean, 21 miles with roughly, we'll just say 22 miles with 12,000 feet of gain. On MK Strava, it's predicting she would run almost 6 hours.
Which
and
might be generous.
But like you add technical stuff.
Closest I have in comparison for myself is like the world championships last year was 27 miles with 13,000 feet of gain. And this is almost 22 with 12,000 feet of gain. And it's going to be technical. And that race took me 5 hours and 20 minutes. Like this race could take people 6 hours.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I would say the men, maybe 6 hours. This is us just guessing based on
we have no idea.
The information we have available. But I would say if I was racing, I would plan for at least 6 hours. This is going to be a long one. With the altitude and stuff. Admittedly, I'm a little bit more excited about this one versus the French one. So many unknowns. And what's also interesting, because it's in Mexico, it's mainly people from North America that are lining up for this race. I mean,
and
the
South
heavy
America.
Hitters in South America or Central America, Central South America. It's mostly people from Mexico, USA, Brazil, Peru, and Colombia.
Yeah.
Wild.
Super
so that's pretty cool.
cool.
Yeah.
So go ahead. I feel like we should go over the profile a little bit. We talked about what we think the train's going to be. But so basically it's the first climb is like seven miles, 5,000 feet of gain. So pretty long, grueling uphill. And then you descend back down about 2,000 feet in a little less than 2 miles, back up 1,000 feet in a mile, and then this massive descent. So from 10.3 to mile 14, so that's less than 3 miles, you lose 5,000 feet. But most of that is in the first 2.5 miles.
Wow.
And then it's kind of like, like I said, it looks super chill from here on out, just kind of rolling, but I don't think that that is what it is.
Yeah. Plus you would have just gone from 5,000 to 10,000 feet. And now you're going all the way back down to like 4 to 5. Like your lactic is built and fast.
And now you have to run.
I feel like I'd bring a sandwich.
Sandwich with like mostly honey in it, just sugar, sugar, sugar.
Yeah, exactly. Another thing is this race is point to point, which is pretty cool. Yeah. I think it's the first point. Oh no, Acantilados del Norte was also a point to point.
We love a point to point.
But yeah, also Mexico in the Skyrunner World Series. We love to see it. Love to see an option for those on this side of the world, not everything in Europe. And yeah. So with that, the race, at least on the female side, these two women kind of just like stand out to me because they have so much experience and they've won races and they're super experienced in this type of trail racing. Emma Cook Clark, she's coming from Canada. She was second at Hochkonimaga. Wow, I can't say that.
That one's so hard. It's in Austria.
It's in Austria. Yeah. Hochkonimaga. Last year, but she also finished in the top like 5 rankings overall in the World Series last year. I can't remember exactly where, but I remember going into the final, she was in the top 3. But she's been on numerous Skyrunner World Series podiums, and she's really, really good at a downhill. I think she might have won the Madeira Sky Race last year. And then Karina Carsolio. We are big fans of Karina. Just putting that bias out there already. She is sponsored by Black Diamond. But come on, the girl lives in Mexico. She probably potentially has been to this area. Mexico is a huge country. But she was 4th overall last year and winner of Sluggish Sky Race. And so those are the two top. And then we have Kelly Wolf joining, which she has, I know she's been in the Skyrunner World Series before, but I don't know what, I don't think she's been in it recently, in recent years.
Yeah, but she's a mountaineer. So like,
yeah,
her confidence and ability on technical terrain is definitely like pretty high.
Yeah. And like her two more notable recent finishes, I can't remember if it was 22 or 23, but she won the Lavaredo kind of like 80K race. And then also the Madeira kind of like, it's like
60K or 70K. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
And those are two pretty technical courses.
Those are two very technical courses. Yeah. So she's had time on feet, which, you know, coming into this race might be the most ideal situation.
Yeah. Yeah, the Lavaredo 81K and the Mute 85K. She won those. That was in 2022. So It'll be cool to see how she stacks up here. And then we have Allison Baca, who is also from the USA. Her husband is from Mexico, so I'm sure that they will be there because that seems like a cool little trip for them. Her most notable performance is 6th at Long Trail Worlds last year in Austria, as well as 2nd at the Lake Sonoma. 50 miler. Her most recent performance was 2nd at Desert Rats 50K. And then Jade Belsberg, also from the USA. She was recently 2nd at the Chuckanut 50K. And Lidi Ormaza Casales from Colombia. She was 25th at OCC last year. She's run a lot of races in Colombia. I have a feeling like, just like the races in Japan and China, like we're going to see some Central American, South American athletes that are probably going to surprise us because we have this elite list, but we also don't know who all signed up.
Yeah, exactly. Go ahead.
No, it's okay. Last female to highlight would be Ruby Lindquist. She was 5th at the Breakneck Marathon last year, which was the U.S. Championship in the qualifier for Worlds. And she most recently won the Lake Sonoma Half Marathon. So
That'll yeah, be... I'm really excited that she's joining the series. I'm curious if she'll like this type of terrain, etc.
Yeah, I know she's planning on also doing the one in Zermatt. I don't remember what it's called, but she's planning on doing a couple of sky races this year.
Cool. Love to see it. So those are the women, a lot of USA runners, and that continues on the men's side as well. We have Morgan Elliott, who's representing Merrill. He was third at Centipede Scramble last year, and he is really good at technical races. He also jumped in the Bentonville 10K last year, and I think he might have been third. And that field was low-key like a sub-ultra men's like hyper race with Joe Gray, Christian Allen,
Andy
else?
Wacker.
Oh, Andy
there.
Wacker. Yeah, it was like end of the year, just all these people showing up. So to get third in that field, and I remember watching him come in, he was really close to Joe. I just thought that was really impressive. He also just did this. I follow him on Instagram. He is a sweetheart. He did this really cool race that I want to do, where you like fish while you're racing and you try to catch fish.
It sounds like Danny's dream.
Yeah, I was like, that is so cool. And the money goes towards like conserving the river that they're fishing on. I just thought that was so cool.
That is cool.
I would love. I was like, maybe I should make something like that in Mammoth. I would love that. And then he also just did an FKT against another man who is really good at the USA, like I don't know how to say it. I forget who he did this FKT race against, but it was like their local hill and it was someone's name that I recognize, but I can't remember right now. Okay. So yeah, anyways, Morgan Elliott, Jackson Cole, who represents La Sportiva. He was second in the Minotaur Sky Race in 2022. And that's a very technical race. Like, I think you're supposed to have a helmet on.
Yeah.
When we preview that race, we'll get into the details. But
and it's a long one, too. It's like one of the races that it's not that long distance wise. But they ran it in like 6 hours or something last year.
Yeah, because isn't that the one that Karina,
I think,
came out for?
And Marcella, I'm pretty sure, ran it.
It was wild. That looks like a really cool race. But yeah, second there in 2022. We also have Johnny Luna Lima. He is technically Brazilian, but he lives in Colorado. He raced at Contelados del Norte, and he's done a lot of these sky races. So he will be there. We also have Jose Manuel Quispe, who is from Peru. He was the winner of it's called Andy's Race 30K. So if it's in the Andes, I'm guessing that's really high. So
and he's won it a couple of times too.
And he's won it a couple times. And USA again, which is pretty wild. There's this many Americans coming out, which is really cool. Scott Patterson, it looks like he might live in Alaska. This dude was on the 2018 and 2022 Olympic teams for cross country skiing, it looks like. He's won the Crow's Pass race in Alaska, which I don't know the Alaska races themselves.
It's
but
a super
Alaska
technical
itself
race.
Is very technically rugged. So to win that 8 times is, I'm pretty sure he's a local legend in Alaska or a state legend. And he's also done the Rut VK multiple times in his podium there. And then this guy, I'm actually really excited to, I don't know much about him, but 25 years old, young gun, Matthew Vera. It looks like maybe he resides in Colorado just based off his race results, because he's done a lot of Colorado races and he always seems to get like first or second, which is awesome. And then to wrap up the men's, it's Alex Keane. He recently just got fourth at Gorge 50K this year, which is the daybreak race that collaborates with Free Trail, and I believe Chris won
Myers
race?
Won that race.
Chris
yeah.
Myers race. Okay, cool. So yeah, very heavy American contingency at this race this year.
Yeah, it'll be exciting, and I'm just so excited to see what this course looks like.
Me too. I'm excited to see the videos and stuff afterwards, and like. the race website doesn't have like too much information. So we got the GPX from the Skyrunner organization themselves because it's not on the race website, nor is there a race start time, nor is there a mandatory gear list. So yeah, there's no helmet or anything like that.
We'll just have to see.
We just have to see. Oh, there is a mandatory gear list. Okay, hopefully this provides some insight a little bit. But they do need a windbreaker, a thermal blanket, a headlamp, and a phone. That's actually not
that's
that
not
much.
Bad. That's pretty normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. And in terms of live stream, we don't know yet, but we'll put it on the SubHub Instagram if there's anything for either of these races. So there might be for Gorges du Tarn, but
yeah, maybe. Yeah. Free trail for this Mexico Sky Race. If I were to suggest some names on the women's side, for sure, Emma Cook Clark and Karina Carcelio. Like,
yeah.
I would pick one of them for the win potentially. Just because I haven't seen Kelly race recently. But you know, I'd throw her in the top five as well. And then maybe like Jade and Allison Baca, because they both have experience doing longer races, which in this case could fare pretty well. Yeah. What about the men's?
Oh man. I have a feeling that it's going to be like a Mexican athlete that's not on this list.
Love that.
If I had to guess,
so
like
that. You can't even pick them if you wanted to.
Yeah, I'm so sorry. And then I think Morgan Elliott will do really well in this race. I think you can probably like put him on the podium for sure. And then the rest of them, I don't know. I'd like, truly, this race is so unknown. Like, just, I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah, honestly.
Next year, we'll have more insight.
I don't know if it's going to be on the fantasy free trail. I don't see it.
Mm-mm.
We'll ask Travis. Okay, I'm going to guess not. The next one is La Gama. So.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's okay. You guys should watch anyways.
Yeah. Very excited about these two races. Do you have anything else to say about these two races?
I don't think so. Cool. If you have something else, I'll go through the current rankings whenever you're ready for that.
Oh, yeah. Go do that because it says it related. Yeah.
Cool. After Sky Race Des Mathazines and before this fourth race, our rankings have not changed too much. On the women's side, first is Lide Urastarazu. Second is Naira Irigoyen. Third is Julia Font. Fourth is Bailey Kowalczyk. And fifth is Sarah Alonso. On the men's side, first is Roberto De Lorenzi. Second, Frederick Tranchand. Third is Manuel Marias. Fourth, Antonio Martinez. And fifth, Luca Del Perro.
Cool. I wonder if Karina doing this race means she's like entering the Skyrunner chat now.
Yeah.
Which I expect if she does. And same with Emma Clark. It is a very early start this season. All this series have early starts now. So people just kind of pick and choose which time of year is best for them.
Yeah.
But yeah.
It'll be interesting to see which races they decide to run after this, if they are planning on being at the final.
Yeah. Definitely. So that is the Skyrunner World Series. After this, we, like I said, we will do, or MK and Francesca will do the Sagama preview. And then after that, there is 5 races in June. So keep an eye out for any content related to those 5 races, including Madeira and Minotaur, which those are kind of like 2 of my favorites to keep an eye on. But the last thing to kind of just wrap up this little quick hitter of an episode is when we originally recorded the Canyons recap, we did give UTMB a hard time about the live stream not being available on YouTube. However, it is now available on YouTube. Not sure if they heard us or what. It seems like maybe there were some copywriting issues or something like that, and it got taken down at some point. But yes, so I will take back what I said about that not being on YouTube.
Go look it up if you miss the race.
Yeah, if you want to see me in MK a little bit, just a little bit, you
just can a little watch bit.
the YouTube. Cool. Well, I think that's it.
Yeah, and you guys won't hear from Danny, I think, for a while. So,
yeah,
like it's a gone.
Bye.
Thanks. All you're right. stuck
this
with me.
This has been
Sorry.
The SubHub. Yeah. All right. This has been the SubHub podcast brought to you by Free Joe.